My scripture reading is Philippians 1, verses 15 through 18. 15 through 18. Paul says, "It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice." Thanks be to God for His Word. In our most honest moments, we realize that our lives are a cauldron of good and evil. That deep within us are mixed impulses and motives. We want to be pure and transparent in our actions and in our motivations. But we know that our decisions, our attitudes, our political opinions, and at some deep level, even our theological convictions, are the product of complex motives that even we don't fully comprehend. It's hard to know, even ourselves. Paul today is addressing a situation in Philippi where very different kinds of people were preaching Christ. Specifically, these people preached from different motives. Some people were preaching Christ out of goodwill, verse 15. They were preaching Christ for the right reason. They wanted people to know Christ, pure and simple. When these preachers talked about Paul being in prison, they talked about it the way Paul talked about it. God is using even this set of terrible circumstances in Paul's life to advance the gospel. Others were preaching Christ, all right, but they had an agenda. Paul calls it their own selfish ambition. They were trying to take advantage of Paul's imprisonment and deep six him and his reputation, and in the process build themselves up. Imagine that, competition among ministers. Now, I think if I were Paul, I might have found myself being a tinge more defensive about this latter group. I might have told these Philippian Christians to at least be careful around them. Keep your distance. But Paul takes a high road. He says, hey, people are people. People do what they do for all kinds of different reasons and motivations and agendas. Some of these people's motives may stink to high heaven when you know the real person. But what does it matter? Verse 18. The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Christ is preached. That's the main thing, Paul says. Paul wants people to know that Jesus Christ is the way to life, to real life, to the good life. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Christ crucified and risen, for us and now within us. That's the message that Paul longed to have preached. However it got preached, whoever preached it. But now in saying this today, Paul is saying something very important. Paul is saying that the message of the gospel, Jesus Christ crucified and risen, is bigger than the messenger. That the Holy Spirit can use flawed messengers to still break through with the message in the lives of others. The common one-liner at ministers' conferences is that you, the minister, can only lead the people you serve as far as you yourself have gone in your spiritual journey. Thank God that's not true. The message is bigger than the messenger. The Holy Spirit is stronger than the messenger's character flaws. True, it's important that we must seek to model the message we proclaim. True, it's important that there be a basic integrity between who we are and what we say. But the fact is, God uses crooked sticks, broken vessels, flawed people all the time. That's all he has available. And Christ is preached. Christ is preached. Yes, the important truth here is the message is bigger than the messenger. This is an important truth to grasp for a couple of reasons at least. First, it gives us this realism about ourselves. The fact is that none of us proclaim Christ, or for that matter, live our lives free of these mixed motives, free of the impulse to protect the self. Every year, Don Biker and I tell entering students when they are getting ready to take their psychological evaluation and assessment to be as honest as they can as they fill all these things out. And we tell them, you students, what our psychologists tell us, namely that these tests have this little thing built into it called an L scale, the lie scale. And that if the L scale number is too high, then these tests really aren't even reliable. And then the kicker, our psychologists tell us that ministers and seminarians' L scales are typically very, very high. Now, our psychologists are surprisingly nice about this. They could say, hey, you ministers are just a bunch of liars. But that's not what they say. Instead, they very gently explain that pastors and aspiring pastors live with this tremendous pressure to be this ideal person, something that, unfortunately, we're not. Under this pressure, we begin to idealize ourselves. I'm supposed to be better subtly becomes first, I want to appear to be better, which then morphs into, I think I am better. The problem, of course, is when we really start believing that. Paul calls us to a realism about our own spiritual shortcomings. First, because it is so. Paul is Timothy's mentor, and Paul tells Timothy, his mentee, that Paul is the chief of sinners. And I don't think that Paul was just engaging in hyperbole there. First, because it is so, and also because we are actually most useful to God and to one another when we live out of a sense of our total need and dependence on God. This truth today that the message is greater than the messenger first gives us a realism with respect to ourselves. A realism that actually sets us free and makes us more useful to the King. The other reason it's so important to grasp this truth today is it keeps us clinging to the message. Our hope, our confidence is in the message, not the messenger. It's in Christ, not in us. Now again, in putting all this emphasis on the message and not the messenger, I'm not trying to take us off the hook for spiritual growth. It is true that when we live in the light, gradually, ever so gradually, the light should be changing us. The gospel should be healing us, transforming us. But I am convinced more and more all the time that real change, significant spiritual change in our lives, not only is rare, but it comes not so much when we're focused on ourselves, but it comes ever so gradually. Usually over a lifetime, as we loosen up a little, let go a little, or put another way, live in grace, look more to Christ, sing more to Christ, talk more to Christ and about Christ. There is wonderful freedom in this season of Reformation, in coming to grips with the fact that it really is all grace. It's all Christ. As you go into this weekend, think less about the messenger and more about the message. Less about you and more about Christ. For, as Paul says, the important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. To Christ be the glory. Amen.